Hey, so I'm going to be talking kind of shorter today, not a whole long message. So we're actually going to do another quick activity. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. How many guys are competitive? Okay. Well, we need to do something like this first part of the activity needs to be super quick. So I need all the leaders' attentions, actually, because they don't actually know this, but your team leaders is your small group. Cool? So I need 6th, 7th, and 8th grade girls to go over here. The leaders. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade guys, leaders to go over here. Now, you have 15 seconds, students. Grade, small groups, I need you to separate so the students know which group to go to. Okay. Students, you have 15 seconds to get to your group, sit on the ground, and be quiet. Go. All right. Shh. Y'all ready? I'm going to explain what's going to happen. Okay, really quick. I need one person, one student from each group to come up here right now. Not two, not three, one. Go. Okay. All right. Here you go. Come over here. You're going to hold that. You're going to hold this, stand like right there. And you're going to hold this one. You guys are going to go over here. Do the same thing. All right, you guys ready for me to explain? Okay, how many of you guys did junior Bible quiz? Okay, cool. That's probably not going to be relevant. So, just real quick, today we're talking about knowing God. So, how many of you guys know that the Bible is the Word of God? So, I actually want to know how much you guys know. So, we're going to be quizzing you guys over the Bible. And basically, this is what's going to happen. Every team is going to get a ball. Back there. Right here. Right here. Don't play with the ball. Just hold it. Boom. Sorry, I don't want to hit anybody. That would be funny, though. Because the balls don't hurt. Okay. So, everybody has a ball. This is how the game's going to work. I'm going to read a question. Okay? Easy enough? I'm going to read a question. As a group, you will discuss what you think the answer is. Then, you will send one person from your group. Just one, not two, not three. One person. If multiple people come up, you can't answer it. You send one person from your group with the answer. They come up with the ball. They find whatever student is in their group, and they have to stand basically right in front of this chair and throw the ball into the bucket. Easy enough. They can move the bucket. They can do whatever they want, but you want to make the ball. Does that make sense? Okay. First team that sends their person up here, makes the bucket, and slaps my hand can answer the question. Now, because I know, because I've been in junior high, when somebody asks a question, everybody just wants to run up right away without discussing it. So to prevent this, if you get the question wrong, your team cannot answer the next one. So it's okay if you take 10, 15 seconds to figure out what the answer is. Everybody understand? Vanya, what's up? There are questions. Leaders, I'm expecting you to use a little common sense. So, leaders, if the question is difficult for you, then you can help them. If it's not a difficult question for you, and you should be able to tell what a difficult question is for you, because there are literally, like, for example, a question could be as easy as how many books are in the Bible. That would be a question you don't help them with. Compared to a very hard question. No, Dylan, that's not the answer. Okay, everybody ready? Everybody good? Okay. Everybody understands the rules, right? One person, if multiple people come up, they can't answer. All right, here is the first question. You cannot do anything until I finish the question. Okay, how old was Jesus when he began his public ministry? Go. No. You got to stand right in front of the chair and shoot it in. You got to slap my hand once you do it. All right. Hold on. Hey, he's got to answer it.
30 years old.
That is correct. I need somebody to make sure they're keeping score. All right, you guys ready? What grade was that? Seventh? Cool. All right, number two. All right, you ready? Number two. How did David kill Saul?
He never did.
That is correct. Saul was not killed by David. Anybody know how Saul died? All right. What was that also? That was eighth, right? Okay. All right. Number three. All right. Leaders, this is a non-help. Who was the oldest person in the Bible? Hold on.
I don't know the name, but it's Methuselah. I don't.
Yes, it is actually Methuselah. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, then oh well. Where's my junior Bible quizzers at? What is the answer? $969. Oh. That's what junior Bible quiz teaches them. All right. Why, Pastor Drew fact checks this.
Y'all are, hold on. Correct.
All right, you ready? Question number four. All right, what is the shortest book in the New Testament?
Philemon?
No.
Third John?
No.
Second John?
Correct. Second John. Was that eighth grade? All right, guys, we're halfway done. Here we go. Number five. Leaders, you can help. What type of insect did Paul eat in the desert?
Grasshopper?
No.
Locust.
That is correct. Locust. Oh.
Locust.
What type of insect did Paul eat in the desert? Yeah. John the Baptist. I told him you'd get fired. All right. We have not gotten the correct answer yet. All right, plot twist. Anybody can answer right now. One person.
He didn't eat a bug, it was a flower.
Wrong.
What?
That is partly correct. Okay, hey, hey. What type of insect did Paul eat in the desert?
He didn't eat one.
Correct. It was John the Baptist. And this is example one of why you don't trust the internet in everything it says. All right, next question. After feeding the 5,000, how many baskets were left over?
Twelve.
All right, that is correct. All right, you guys ready? We got, hey, three questions left. We got to move. Leaders, you can help with all three of these. All right. When was baseball first mentioned in the Bible?
Never.
That is incorrect. No. Nope. Any girls got an answer? No.
Genesis.
I will give it to them. It is Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning. In the beginning. All right. All right, you ready? Two more. Two more. Shh. All right. Here you go. Elijah. All right. What garden was Jesus crucified in?
Garden of Gethsemane.
That is incorrect.
Gethsemane.
That is incorrect.
He wasn't. He wasn't.
He was not crucified in the garden. That is where he is arrested. All right. Now, we got one question left. Real quick. Raise your hand if you have 1 point. 2 points. Three. Four. Five. Okay, all right. This question is worth 3 points. This is the last one. You ready? All right. It is a riddle, so use your brain. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? You gotta make it. You gotta make it. I think she was here first.
Jesus, because he used parables.
No.
Isaiah?
No.
Samson? No.
It is Samson, and the answer is because he brought the house down. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Welcome to being competitive, where everything is controversial. All right. So now that I know what you guys know and don't know, I can talk now. All right. How many of you guys read this week's devotional? Cool. We're going to read it right now. Can you put up that verse or those verses? Okay. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him and not on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life to make up for the help you yourself, is that worded weird? I think so. Could not give me. Verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Now this right here is what we're going to focus on today. So it says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Man, does anybody else read faster when they're not talking out loud? That was a mouthful. All right. So basically what we're going to be talking about today is that last six verses where Paul is like, well, if anybody can put confidence in themselves, it's me because I know this and I do this and I do this and I do this. He's basically bragging about all the things that he can do and he knows. So like today it would be like, yeah, I got a 36 on my ACT. I've been in church my entire life. Like I know all of these different things, basically bragging on himself. And then he says, but all of this compared to knowing God is worthless. So two people, just real quick, who's good at spinning a fidget? Okay, come up here. All I need you to do is just sit right here and spin the fidget. Who's good at holding a football? Come here. All right, all I need you to do is sit there and hold that football, protect it. Okay, don't mind them. I know your junior hires, you're going to look at them. They are literally just up here to hold what I gave them. I just bought that. I like that. So what are some things that you guys know or can do that you think is valuable? Sports? Sing? Somebody said read a book. You can run and swim. Spin a fidget. Sing and dance. You can walk for 2 hours straight. You praise God. Play an instrument. You can crawl. Breathe. Okay. All right. So, yes, there are a lot of things that you guys can do, or at least you know how to do. That's going to throw me off. Yes, I know how to read. I know how to get a diploma. I know what's going to happen in the next 3 Star Wars movies. There's lots of things that I know. I'm totally kidding. I don't know. And just like these two, they know how to spin a fidget on their head. And they know how to hold a football. Now, I'm going to give them an option. Hold on. Shh. I'm going to give them an option. So you two can either stay up here and hold the fidget spinner for the next minute. Okay? Or there is something under these two buckets that I can tell you is more valuable than holding that and holding that. Which one do you want? You want the bucket? What do you want? Stay there for 60 seconds or have what's in the bucket? Yes, I think it's more valuable. Hold it. Okay, all right, you want the bucket? You want the bucket? All right, go get what's in the bucket. Yes, there. All right, you guys can go sit down. Yes, they did get what was in the bucket, and yes, it's more valuable because it is a gift card for food, which you need. Shh. All right. At the restaurant, yeah. So, I know it seems silly, and I'm not comparing God or knowing God to a gift card to a restaurant, but when you look at it that way, the things that we do, the things that we know, playing video games, playing sports, all these different things are not bad. God gave you gifts. God gave you talents. God gave you abilities. He gave you knowledge to know things. And he wants you to use that knowledge. But he also wants you to use that knowledge to know him more. And knowing him compared to anything else is worthless. Just like knowing there is something valuable under there compared to holding something makes more sense, because when you're holding something, when you're doing something, like when you're playing video games, it brings you, that make you guys happy? Playing video games? Going shopping? Something like that. So, knowing what to do in like the spur of the moment, like playing video games, watching TV, all this different stuff, it can bring you joy right there. But knowing God gives you eternal joy. So I'm not comparing a gift card to God, but you are having more joy from having a gift card because now you have money to go buy food that you don't know when you're going to use it, compared to the 60 seconds of holding something that you know how to do. So, yes, knowing these things can give you a taste of joy, but God can give you eternal joy. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard something about God that maybe you haven't experienced from God? Raise your hand if that's you. Half y'all are liars. The ones raising your hand are, So, how many of you guys have been going to Glad Tidings for more than a week? Okay, so you hear stuff every week because there's believers all over this church, probably people that you live with, maybe that you go to school with, that have probably said like, oh, God is this. God does this. And there are some of you in here that, or probably a lot, including me, that are probably thinking to myself, well, I know this, but I've never actually experienced this. And it's not a bad thing. If you've never experienced something you've heard about God, don't worry, there's nothing wrong. Because God gives you revelation and revelation, and he gives you gifts, and all these different experiences happen in your walk with God. So, I know a lot of you have heard, like, God loves you, or God gives you peace, God makes you not stress out, God gives you joy. All these different things. But how many of you guys know knowing and experience are different, right? Yeah? So you guys might know how to hold a football, but you might not do it right. I'm not bashing on you, don't worry. But you can know something and never experience it or not experiencing it. And that's actually what I want you guys to do today. And I told you this is going to be real short. If we can actually just have like Keys and Peter or somebody come up, or whoever wants to band. Yeah, cool. Give it up for our band. Shout out to Peter. I've known this dude for like 50 years. Yes, he was around Glad Tidings before this junior high ministry. I'm actually like best friends with his brother. So, yeah. No. Where's my keys at? Where's Nay? Here's my wife. Yes. Whew. All right. I need everybody to do something real quick because we're almost out of time, actually. But I really actually want to do this because I think this is like one of the coolest things in the world is to watch people experience something that they've never experienced or experience something that they know about God. So can everybody stand up? All right, not move around, just stand up. Okay, how many of you guys have ever heard God gives you joy? God makes you happy. Raise your hand if you've heard that. Okay, now, if you've ever been in church, especially Glad Tidings, you have probably heard that. And if you tell me you haven't, you're lying. So what I want to happen here is I know some of your lives. I don't know all of your lives. I've seen a lot of you, and I see the stuff you do. And I'll just be completely honest. There are some Christians that have heard God gives you joy, and some of you guys that know that God gives you joy, but you walk around like you're like the angriest person in the world. And I'm not saying it's bad to be upset. Like, God got angry. God gets angry. That's not a sin. It's what you do with that anger. But if God gives us joy, there's no reason that 24/7, as somebody who has a relationship with this God, should be angry all the time. So what I want to do here is, how many of you guys know that breakthrough and joy and love and all this different stuff happens in worship? Do you guys know this? So this is all I'm going to do. We're going to sing a song, and I just want you to worship God. And during the entire song, because this is what I do, is when I need God to give me joy or like peace about something, what I just begin to do is instead of focusing on the negative, everything that's happened in my life, everything that I've messed up with, I begin to thank God for everything that He's done in my life. So you might say to yourself, like, I don't have like a lot of stuff that God's done for me. That is a lie. Whether or not you know it or not, you were born. You are here right now. God has done that for you. How many times have you ridden in the car and not wore a seatbelt? And you're still here. You didn't die. That's God. There's all these little things, and some of you might have big things, but during this entire song, just begin to thank God for everything that He's done in your life. And just watch as the spirit of joy starts to fall over you. So if you guys actually want to come up here, we're going to worship together. I think this is going to be a really powerful moment.